Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
This episode of the Short Term Show is brought to you by The Short Term Shop. 30-year fixed mortgages, tax benefits, and long-distance management training made easy are just a few of the perks of owning a short-term rental. The Short-Term Shop can help you buy and learn how to manage your property from anywhere in the world. Just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected. Again, that's theshorttermshop.com, and we are brokered by eXp. See y'all over there. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Short-Term Show. Today, we have a really cool guest. This is not an advertisement, by the way. I'm not being paid to say this. A very longtime client of this man, Mr. Daniel Ramsey. He's the CEO and founder of My Outdesk, which is a company that helps you source virtual assistants. And I'll let Daniel take over from here. How's it going, Daniel?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm super excited to be here. And I love your show, actually.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and My Outdesk.
Sure. So I'm a real estate guy and I actually own hotels. I'm in the hospitality game as well. And, you know, I needed leverage in my life. And so back in 2007, I hired my first virtual assistant and, you know, I didn't know what I was doing really. I was just like, I need help in my business and I'm super busy. And that eventually turned into a business. And it's pretty insane because back then the 4-hour work week wasn't around, you know, Skype was the only tool that was available for this. Like we didn't have Zoom, wow. We didn't have anything really, you know, forget about Asana or any of the cool tools that we have today. So, you know, hired my first virtual assistant and like many people who have now had a virtual assistant, I was floored. I was shocked. I'm like, this works. They're smart. They're engaging. Like they help. And it turned into a business. And really, I got the realization that this worked was I was on my honeymoon and I was working. And your audience might identify with this, but we're in Belize. We're in this amazing restaurant hotel. It's 1 a.m. My wife is back in the room. You know. Resting because it's 1 a.m. We just had a day of adventure in the jungle. And this guy grabs my cell phone, you know, the bartender, and he's like, what's wrong with this guy? Beautiful bride back in the room, you know, working on his honeymoon. Money is his God, you know? And I knew at that moment that I had a business that owned me versus me owning a business. And so I came back from the honeymoon determined to change everything. And that's kind of how My Outdesk took off.
Okay. And I think that this is particularly relevant to short-term rental investors because we all have businesses that are kind of like that. And then I'm in the real estate sales space and real estate as a whole is a business that's kind of like that. It's not we can shut it off at 5 o'clock and go home and shut the door and we don't hear from anything. We're by nature at the mercy of other people. So in the real estate agent business, we're dealing, you know, when our clients are off work, that's when we're kind of on because they've been working all day. Now they can talk to us about their personal deal that we're doing. And same thing with owning short-term rentals. It can be, it's cool because it can be a 4-hour work week, but you don't really get to pick what 4 hours. You can go to the gym in the middle of the day if you want, or go get your kid out of school and take him to a matinee. I've done that myself, but it's going to interrupt your dinner at some point or, you know, something that you want to do. So having a virtual assistant, especially in this space, is really, really helpful. In addition to the fact that, I mean, I'm going to kiss my virtual assistant's ass, who's actually on this call producing this podcast right now. I was connected with her through My Outdesk. It's been about 4 years. And I talk to her more than my family. She can run this business. If I take off for a couple of days, she's got it under control. So I make jokes all the time that she's the real boss. But I think a lot of people, when they hear about virtual assistants, they're like, offshore, I don't know. I need to be able to, you know, reach out and touch them. So what would be your answer to that, the whole virtual part of the virtual assistant.
You know what I love? I was thinking about this because I knew you were going to ask some question like that, right? And it's winter right now. I'm a snowboarder, and my wife just actually went up to Tahoe, and she was like on black diamonds, and it's icy right now. We're about to get a huge storm. And she's like, yeah, it was icy, black diamonds. They were harder than normal. And I think delegation and running a business is kind of like a mountain, right? You've got the beginning routes that are super easy. Then you have intermediate, and then you have black diamonds, which are experts. And so delegation kind of runs the gamut. Like, you have people who are really great at delegation and really great at building businesses. Those are the black diamond expert entrepreneurs. And so when you ask that question, is like, obviously you are in that black diamond category because your virtual assistant could run the business without you. Like, that's the difference maker. And so, you know, outsourcing or hiring a virtual assistant to do like, you know, basic tasks, that's like a beginner, you know, leverage. Like, hey, I need to change this shirt out, or I need you to, you know, log on here and pull this data for me, or I need you to research that. That's like beginner stuff, like just task-oriented delegation, which is super, super simple. Most entrepreneurs can handle that. The next level is project management or system and process management, which is like, you know, a guest comes in, checks in, you know, and you run your checklist, right? And you're servicing that guest throughout the entire life cycle of that guest stay in your property. That's a system or process. That's a project. So that the next level of delegation is that world. Now, expert delegation is when you set a virtual assistant, or really anybody in your world, to hire or do an outcome, meaning, hey, we're going to build this business together. I need you to find customers for me. I need you to transform our marketing. I need you to produce a podcast. That's expert level, because you're just hiring somebody for an outcome. Usually those people are C-level, or they have a lot of history with you. And so delegation is pretty, I mean, it's just like anything else in life. There's beginners, there's intermediates, and there's experts.
I totally agree with that. And I want to hear what your response to this is, because your virtual assistant is only ever going to be as good as the amount of time that you spend with them on training. So yeah. I know I've had a couple before Che, who I have now, and it didn't work because I didn't take the time to show them how to do things, because I was like, oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time to show you how to do this. Let me just do it. So what would be your advice for somebody who is maybe about to hire a virtual assistant in terms of training? Because you can't just expect somebody, even if they have all of the qualifications and experience that you need them to for your position, to just jump in and be able to do everything. And I think a lot of people make that mistake.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. I want to start with just some hacks, because I've done this for 17 years and I want to give your audience as much value as possible. So hack number one is, I love Dr. Google, Professor YouTube, and online university, meaning like there's so much out there today. And if you even go back, my daughter, she's 8, and she's like, Dad, when you grew up, how did the internet work? And I was like, I grew up without the internet. Like, and she's like, well, how did you do things? And I was like, honey, I didn't even have a cell phone. Like, when you needed to know something, how did you look it up? I'm like, well, people had books. And she looked at me like I was crazy, right? And so the first hack is like, there's so much information out there, whether you're a short-term rental person, a real estate person, or just a regular business person. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, you can get access to a lot of free resources. So I would start with free when it comes to training, like what's out there. We call this R&D, rip off and redistribute, you know, so it's you don't have to do it yourself. So that's number one. There's a lot of resources out there. Number two, because we've had so many, you know, tens of thousands of people come through my Outdesk, I always can tell the level of success by the level of preparation somebody has before they hire someone. So, you know, basics, do you have a job description? Next thing, do you have like a system and process articulated in paper or in video? Yes or no? Like, do you have context for your industry? Do you have context for your business? you know, like how many people have you already trained in this? So these are like the experts show up having this stuff ready to have conversations about virtual assistants. So another hack that I love is you can borrow, you can buy, or you can build. So borrow is the least expensive, right? So a friend of yours did it before and they have training. You're like, hey, can I borrow your training? Or, you know, is there something out there available already? So that's borrow. Buy, it's a little bit more expensive upfront, but there's training for everything now. Like everything. I mean, you can go and get a master's online. You can go at MBA, like it just everything exists. So even podcasting, like you can go and take courses on how to be a podcaster, or how to produce a podcast. So like the world is just insane. You know, we don't have to go through encyclopedias anymore to learn things, right? It's just out there. So the next thing is just buy. And then the last is build. And build is cost you the most time. It's the most frustrating. And yet it's the most powerful, because as an entrepreneur, you can say, I want you to do it like this. And I want you to serve my customers like this. And so as you become, you know, go from basic to intermediate to expert delegator, you'll find that the experts really have their onboarding and their training dialed in.
Yeah, I think that's 100% correct. And Loom, when I discovered Loom, I was like, oh my God, this makes my life so much easier, because now it's like you're sharing your screen. It's a recording. You can have that. You can have all these files for everyone forever. And we use that a lot around here. So, I mean, I don't think I discovered it. I discovered it way later than I probably should have. But, oh, my God, it changed our SOP game so much when I discovered it.
We're all on a journey, right? And things show up when we're ready for them, and you're ready. And I wasn't ready for video until I realized, oh, my gosh, why isn't this working? So the beauty of being an entrepreneur is like, when there's mistakes, there's two questions to ask. Is it their fault or is it my fault? Usually if you look internal and you say, okay, what did I do wrong in this? And that's the opportunity to learn. And great entrepreneurs, they're constantly saying, what could I have done different?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that too. And you mentioned rip off and redistribute. And I've noticed in the past year, a lot of people ripping you off, starting VA matching services and companies. And I've seen a lot of them not make it very far and die off almost immediately. So what do you think about My Outdesk has given you the longevity? And I mean, I know why I'm still a client, but what do you think has really set you apart from everybody else who's been trying to do this in terms of VA matching and connection?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, we have people who think it's easy, first of all. We don't have a product that is duplicatable, meaning I'm not selling a phone that's the same phone and I'm not building a million of them. We are actually looking for humans, and humans are tough. You got to create system and process to kind of sort down to the best person. And so we've spent 17 years measuring and perfecting a service for delivering talent to entrepreneurs. And so what we've found is most entrepreneurs who are hyper-focused on growing and scaling their business, they value somebody else helping them finding talent so they can focus on what they do, which is typically serving clients or selling a product or a service. And we can focus on filling up their talent pipeline. And so we're really blessed to have just been, you know, kind of crazy focused on just talent. And if you were to line us up, you know, against all of our competitors, what you'll see is they've been around a couple of years or they're just, you know, weak imitations. Whereas we're like, we've been doing it for 17 years and we really care and we really want our people to win and we want our entrepreneurs to win. And, you know, I think you can feel that in our brand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I've got, aside from Che, another VA who helps with some things who we've had for, I think, 3 years. Luke, my husband, has had his for, I think, another 3 or 4 years. So it's turned into some really long-term relationships between us and our VAs. And I think that speaks a lot to y'all's company, because You know, a lot of the work that we have them doing, I'm sure Che would never admit this, is not the most fun. You know, it's tedious. It's like, hey, can you make me a spreadsheet of this? And it's just been having such a long-term relationship with someone who can do, take those tasks and run with them and do a really good job. And I don't have to like micromanage is very, very difficult to find.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that statement, and I think you've nailed it, is that turnover is the enemy of scale.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the content of our podcast, but you have additional short-term rental questions, we host a weekly live question session that you guys can join for free. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. And if you head over to strquestions.com, you can sign up. So not only am I the host of this show, but I also own and manage my own properties, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have about short-term rental investing. So please join us anytime for a free weekly live Q&A on Zoom. Sign up at strquestions.com.
This episode of the Short-Term Show has been brought to you by your friendly Short-Term Shop real estate agent. We are hyper-local and totally dedicated to your success. Whether you want to buy your next short-term rental or sell the one you currently own, we would be honored to earn your business. We are in all of the best vacation markets in America. Find us at theshorttermshop.com. That's theshorttermshop.com. Brokered by EXP.
We have folks on our team that have been with us, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And what they do is they've just learned everything about our business, our customers, our systems and processes. So they're empowered to make decisions in a way that a brand new person who's maybe 10% less or 20% less just could never compete. And so what's interesting is, you know, turnover is the enemy of scale, but longevity inside of your business, when it comes to individual contributors and managers, that's what creates profits. And people just don't get that. Like it's hard to explain to a new entrepreneur or a new business person, hey, when you keep somebody 5 years, like that's going to help you drive 5 or 10% more profits in your business. And they're like, I just want to save money. And so we're constantly having that battle with our customers of like, it's not about saving 5 or 10%. It's about creating, you know, something special for your customers. And that comes with longevity of your employees.
I agree with that too. And so along those same lines, what do you think are some other maybe steps to ensure, like when you're in the interview process or you're somebody who's like, okay, I think it's time for a VA. Like, how do I know? What are some steps to success for somebody who would be new jumping into potentially hiring a VA to leverage?
Yeah, my favorite thing, I interviewed somebody like 7-8 years ago, and she had that exact same question. And she's super famous YouTuber now. And I followed her career, and she's had some wild success. And she asked the same question. And I simply said, hey, write down everything you're doing every day. It's a superpower to just kind of pay attention to the details. And so my suggestion, if you're listening and you're new at leverage or new at hiring a virtual assistant, just simply write down what you're doing every day. We call it the sticky challenge, where you just follow yourself around with stickies, write like what you're doing and why it's important. And then as a week or two goes by, you start seeing patterns in all the stickies. You're like, I'm doing this for sales. I'm doing this for marketing. This is an ops thing. This is leadership thing. And you start having these categories that exist and you're like, holy moly, you throw them up on the board. And then what you're asking is like, okay, what's the stuff that only I should be doing, could or should be doing? And what do I love doing? Right. And you start thinking about that and you can start creating these job descriptions that are very clear. One of our largest products is just executive assistants, like just people checking email and doing calendar stuff and, you know, running down simple tasks and just kind of being a buffer for the leader inside that business so that they can focus on the most important thing. And that's a huge piece of our business, is just simply helping the leader stay in their strength zone. So that would be my suggestion, is number one, just figure out what you should get off your plate and then start exploring options in terms of hiring.
flipping that on you, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they get into hiring this way?
Yeah, it's, you nailed it in the beginning, which is why I love being on this podcast, because you're like, it's the training. I like to tell people, you know, like I've been in business 20 plus years, and I have context around real estate, construction, hospitality. That context is, you know, hard to pull out of my brain. And when you hire somebody, you have this tribal knowledge. You have, you know, things about your business, about your industry, about your customers that just isn't super transferable. So number one, just try to get that context out in video. Try to get that context out on paper so that you can help somebody get up to speed. Number two, it's just staying consistent with what the outcome is that you hired. And this is a mistake that a lot of people make. You hire a salesperson to drive revenue. Okay, well, how are you going to measure that? What's winning? What's normal? What's the industry average? You know, what is my company average? So, you know, number two is just setting up kind of a measurement and a system to know whether that person is winning or not winning for you. And those two things are probably the biggest two in the beginning. In the end, it's like, you know, you've got to recognize as you're growing and scaling a business that the entrepreneur has to change with the business. Mm-hmm. So this is the most frustrating, by the way, I think this is the most, Avery, this is the most frustrating thing about being a business owner. The moment you reach success, you have to completely reinvent yourself and then learn a new skill set. It's ridiculous. And it drives me crazy because I'm like, I'm winning. And then you get to the top and you're like, oh no, I'm not winning anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? So that would be the third mistake is fail, you know, getting leverage and saying, well, now I don't have to, you know, they're going to do it all for me or whatever. As you grow, you have to reinvent yourself as an entrepreneur, learn new skill sets, empower new people, build new teams, new organizational structures. And that happens every time you cross a new threshold. It happens at 500,000. It happens at 1,000,000, happens at 2,000,000, at 5,000,000, at 10,000,000. Every single time you reach new levels of revenue growth, you have to completely reinvent yourself. And some people are disgruntled about that. And I just, it's an opportunity. It can be frustrating. And it's also what's great about being an entrepreneur is we get to kind of design our own life.
Yeah. And it really is that the greatest thing about being an entrepreneur is you do get to design your own life. But I think that so many people make the mistake of thinking that designing their own life is turning off their computer and throwing their phone in the ocean and being able to lay on the beach drinking margaritas the rest of their life. And that's not it. And I think that a lot of people mistakenly get into starting with short-term rentals and then leveraging with VAs because that's their goal. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, you do have to have that motivation inside that you want to work, that you're happy building something all the time. Because if you're looking to just lay on the beach for the rest of your life, you're not an entrepreneur. You're better off being an employee and laying on the beach after your 5 p.m. is over. So I think that that's kind of part of the being a successful entrepreneur is enjoying the build and not necessarily the destination.
Yeah, but yet, I know a guy, he's ultra fixated on buying a business right now. And his whole dream around that business is like, I don't want to have to work anymore. I'm going to buy this business and it's going to pay me and I'm not going to work. And I just had to set him straight. I was like, look, dude, you're going to buy this business and it's going to be all consuming. I want to be clear about this. Like this thing is going to consume you and you got to be ready to set boundaries and be right in the head. And I think that's another thing, you know, if I were to talk about leverage is, you know, when you have customers, you're serving your customers. They're the ones, they're honestly your boss, right? And that's how I view business is you're one of our customers. You're my boss. If you need me to do something, I need to choose. I got to choose. Am I going to do that or am I not going to do that? If I'm not going to do that, I'm risking getting fired. So as the entrepreneur or the business owner, you've got to think, okay, my customers are my boss, my employees, I'm here to help them win. So the mindset that you have to have is like, I'm going to hire this virtual assistant. I'm going to train them. I'm going to show them how to win in our system and process. And then I'm going to make sure that they're successful. Like it'll be my job to help them win and feel really good about winning. And that mindset the best of the best leaders, that's what they have. Not, I'm going to go sit on the beach.
Yeah. And I've said I totally agree with that too many times on this podcast, so I'm not going to say it, but I do. So what have we not touched on? We're coming towards the end of our time here about leverage and hiring VAs and just really anything surrounding that. What have we not touched on that you think our listeners could benefit from hearing about?
Well, I think it's important that I set the stage. We have leverage in our life. I mean, we have a chef. We have a personal assistant in the home. We've got leaders here in my business. Leverage is a game and you can get really, really good at it. And you've got to be willing to fail. So it's like any other skill set in the marketplace, right? When you shoot a basketball, your first shot probably isn't going to go in. And so people get discouraged and they say it didn't work out for me and that company sucked. That's just not, I would not be in that mindset. I'd be in the mindset of this is a skill. I need to become an expert delegator and I've got to be willing to fail at a couple things. And I got to be willing to have it not be perfect. That's the other thing that's really important. As an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs like get their start and they have to control everything. And then they want to hire people so they can buy some of their time back, but they won't give up control or they're like a helicopter delegator. You know, you hear about helicopter moms or helicopter dads, but you could be a helicopter delegator and it's like, hey, did you finish it? Is it perfect? Is it right? Is it, you know? So my perspective here is this is a skill set that once you've honed it, it can really be valuable because you can hire really powerful people, empower them to win for you, set the vision, which is what your job is as an entrepreneur. Like, hey, we're going here. That's another reason that we've won is that we've just always said, look, our vision as a company is to provide indispensable virtual assistance. Like that's been a thing. Like, and it served us during the pandemic because while other companies, you know, lost all their employees, we didn't. Our people are indispensable. You can't let go of them. You can't, they are so invaluable, like valuable for the business that's it. And so your job as an entrepreneur is set a vision and then pull people into that vision and help them win for you and with you. And I think that's, you know, I'm just willing to fail a lot in order to win eventually.
And you have to be. You have to be. I think people get so scared of failure that they just don't do anything. And then it, you know, it never happens for them.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You asked, I'd probably say the biggest opportunity that people have is like, hey, what could I systematize in my business? What things could I put into a process or a checklist and then do a Loom video, teach somebody else the context for my company and for the industry, and then delegate. And if the more you can just like, could I delegate that? Could I get that off my plate? And the difference maker is this, that's a standard thing in business, by the way. Mm-hmm. Get it off my plate, get off my plate. What's not standard is this second question, which is now, what are the things in my business that I can do to drive scale and opportunity for the entire business? So that's the framework to think, like, what can I get off my plate? And then what are the things that only I can do that are going to drive revenue for my business?
All really good advice. And now that we are to the last three questions of the show that we ask everyone, it's more advice. Surprise. Mm. What advice would you give 20-year-old Daniel if you knew then what you know now?
There's a lot more support as an entrepreneur that you need. I'm in a mastermind. I have a coach. I have a therapist. I have a spirit coach. You know, I have peers, I hire consultants, like it's insane the amount of opportunities that happen when you're properly supported. And, you know, I think, you know, 20-year-old Daniel could have spent a little bit more money on himself to be more successful and pulled more people into, you know, my world. I think this is a mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make. They just kind of go out and grind it out. Like I'm going to outgrind everybody. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to do that. And I think that's important. I mean, there was a 3-year period back in 2007, 8, 9, where I just worked 7 days a week. Like I just, 2007, 8, 9, where those, like, that was the storm. If you owned a business in that time, you were working. So I've done the grind thing. But my best advice for you guys is just get the support that you think you can't afford now. You know, hire the coaches, invest in yourself. That's the best place to put money.
Okay, second question, kind of along those same lines, is what advice do you have for maybe a new real estate investor, a new hotel investor who's looking to get started in investing today, beginning of 2024, weird time in history? What's your advice?
Yeah, learn everything you can. Like, I think that's a big mistake that people make when they're thinking about investing. Like I think it's really important that you know everything about the market that you want to buy in, what your investment thesis is. Like, for us, and I'll just tell a story because it's easier, we invest in places that have sand, sun, and snow. Like, okay. I want those three things because it's year-round hospitality. So demand's going to be kind of consistent throughout the year. We're not going to have the slow seasons in early spring and late fall that most hotels or short-term rentals have. We won't have that. And so we have an investment thesis and we just stick to that thesis. Like, that's it. I'm not going to go anywhere else. And so my suggestion is learn everything about the industry, about what you can afford, find mentors, just really dive in. I mean, before I purchase something, I'll spend an exhaustive amount of time trying to understand why that asset is working or not working. And I think that's something that I would do if I hadn't invested in real estate up until now. That's how I would start, is I would just spend a lot of time learning everything, looking at all the transactions that have closed, the ones that have failed, the ones that are running well, the ones that are running bad, and try to understand the game.
Awesome. I love that too. And last question, this one's a little more fun. What is your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
Oh man. I've got like 12 books that I love, but
list them off.
Well, I have a whole video about them.
Okay.
But I'm going to narrow this down. Like, I love morning routine. So The Miracle Morning for me is a big deal. I know a lot of people who hate the morning routine stuff and they just want to wake up and grind. I love it. I'm sitting in the sauna. I'm doing a meditation. I'm doing the cold plunge. I'm reading. I'm journaling every single day. That one thing, like this morning, I was thinking, like, these are the problems I need to solve inside of our businesses. These are challenges with different, you know, leaders that I have running things for me. And so I'm in that time really trying to solve problems, move through things. And so I think Miracle Morning has been one of the bigger impact and changed who I am and how I lead.
That is a good one. And a lot of people love to hate on that, but I agree. My husband and I both 4 a.m. we're up doing all that stuff. And it really does help. And I do start grinding pretty early, but that's just because I got to get some things done before the kids wake up. But
you're a 4 a.m. person?
4 a.m.? Oh, yeah. 4 a.m.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I was up at 5 today and I thought I was special.
Well, so the kids wake up. I get them up at 6, but sometimes they will wake up at like 5:30. So it's just not early enough at this point. Also, you know, I spent a lot of time in my 20s staying up until the other side of 5 a.m. So now I'm like, I am in bed at 7 and I'm happy to be there. So I get plenty of sleep. It's not as early as it sounds like.
No, I love it. I think, you know, that's a shift too in perspective. People are like, oh, do you sleep in? And I'm like, no, I sleep early when I want to sleep in. So like being for us, I'm in the sheets by 9 o'clock, like every night. And so I think it's a big deal to have a routine as a leader, as somebody who wants to grow wealth. I think your body, like there's a body rhythm and like a clock rhythm that you can depend on. Like I knew I was going to show up this morning and have this call with you. So it's the very first thing that I'm doing in the day. And I think that rhythm is very important. And a lot of people, you know, they go to bed at different times. They wake up at different times. They don't have a routine. They're not working out. I want to circle my arms around them and say, hey, you could have a better life if you just put a routine together, you know?
Yeah, it really is important. And people like to make fun of it and that's fine, but it really does help.
Helps
me. And yeah. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. If our listeners want to find you, follow you, sign up, how do they do that?
Yeah, jump on our website, myoutdesk.com. You can get a free consultation. We don't even charge for that. And what I've explained in terms of a process, we will bring your individual business through that process if you don't have it yet. All of our consultations are 100% free, and we actually say no every single day, every single week, every single month, because somebody's not ready, and we'll help them get ready. So that's a really important thing. And then I'm on all the social media places. You can Google me or whatever, Daniel Ramsey, and I'm there.
All right. Well, guys, you heard where to follow him. Daniel, again, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll catch you later.